Welcome to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. Each week brings a new message that looks to invite you into a new life brought by Jesus Christ. We hope you are inspired and changed by God by the message brought by today's speaker.
Over the last two weeks, we have talked about the Advent time. The first Sunday was about the idea of hope and the prophecies. We shared that there were over 350 prophecies, all of which came true, and the probability and impracticality of that happening in one person is mathematically impossible. And so Jesus has to be Messiah. Last week we shared about peace, and we shared about the peace that comes because he is the Prince of Peace. And we went into some points that shared that about the peace. And today we want to talk about joy and the shepherds. They were considered the shepherds. They were some of the least of society. Their decor was anything but desirable for the rank and file of society. The presence made many avoid them. Their aroma, let's just say, it was not the best in the West. They didn't have Right Guard back then. They didn't have men and deodorant back then. They didn't have any of that back then. They spent the vast majority of their lives isolated, away from people, around dirty, filthy animals. I've been around sheep. I went to Mid-America Nazarene College, now university. We had sheep on the Mid-America farm. They are nasty. Believe me. When you pick them up, you pick them up with one hand under the front, and I'm not going to tell you where you put a finger to pick them up the rest of the way. We'll leave it at that. These people were considered also the lowlife of society, and they were all but totally shunned by society except for what they did for society. They were often misunderstood. They were undesired. They were fully avoided, and if they were encountered, they would have been bossed around or spoken evil about, and in the least complimentary terms of their day. They would spend days and weeks seen only by those of their own kind. Few of them actually were able to get married. They would have to provide for their own food and water without failing to do so on their job as well, while also caring for sheep. They would have to know how to fight, how to defend, and how to win, not only against four-legged predators, but against two-legged predators. And if they worked and they won, they were allowed to keep on going. But if they failed, they could have their lives taken from them. They were shepherds. Their nights were long, cold, exhausting. Their personal lifespans were short because they didn't have the things of the day, of the time that most everybody else could have. Their lot was chosen by the families they were born into, those exactly like themselves. There was no preparation to be able to make their lives better. There was no JUCOs. There were no colleges. There were no universities. They were not allowed to get out of their system and learn something different to better themselves. They were lowlifes of society. As shepherds, they were castigated. They were despised. They were berated. They were rejected. They were tolerated for what they did, but they were not valued for who they were as people. As shepherds, they dealt with animals that would be used for sacrifice in the holy systems, but yet they had to clean up after those same animals. They sheared the sheep, but had to clean the fleece to make sure it was cut perfectly and kept clean. The animals that these shepherds cared for was valued, it was needed, and used as an important function of worship as well as food, yet the shepherds were despised and rejected. Let's go back to the Old Testament and then forward into the New Testament. Moses was a shepherd for 40 years of Jethro's flock because he ran from being killed after what he did in Egypt on behalf of some of his own, and yet Moses was chosen. Isaac was a shepherd after the flock of his father-in-law, and his father-in-law kept stealing from him. His father-in-law kept taking from him. His father-in-law kept mistreating him, and yet God, the Bible says God blessed Isaac, and from Isaac we have the children of Israel. The Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Shepherd. Go into the New Testament. Jesus is the very Son of God, but he is compared to the great shepherd, the low life of society. The eternal Son of God who came to get into our muck, our mess, our lives, our situation, our nastiness of living into the soul condition that we have. And so in comparing Jesus as a shepherd, the Messiah, the Bethlehem babe, to be a shepherd, can we not see the inexpressible value we can and must have in Jesus? Can we not understand that when we are transformed, it's because the shepherd looked after us and protected and provided for us? Pardon me. Can we not understand why it is we are despised as believers? Why it is we are maligned? Why it is we are told to be quiet and not speak out about Jesus in our society? Why, if we speak against ills of society, we are hated. I was in Aldi this week, and I was at Aldi Church of the Nazarene. I want you to know, we did not have a good service that day. A lot of services I have at Aldi Church of the Nazarene. Yippee-ki-yay, we're having fun. We might as well pass an offering. This week, don't even think about it. I was just saying, how are you doing? I'm doing well. How are you doing? You know what? I am extremely blessed by God. It's Christmas season, and I'm thankful for Jesus. A man comes around the aisle, and he says, you need to shut blankety-blank-blank-blank-blank-blank. Blankety-blank-blank up. And I just kind of, now, you know my background, but I still, jarhead, looked at him and thought, what did I just hear? At Christmas? You have got to be kidding me. And I said, well, I'm a little bit shocked. And he said, get over it. You need to shut up. Can I just be real honest and tell you what I didn't do? I didn't shut up. And I just decided, I think I'll just sing him to death. Either I'll sing and he'll die, or I'll sing and he'll shut up. Away in a manger. He left. I didn't have to go any further. Folks, we are maligned because we speak Jesus, the great shepherd. Back to the shepherds. The shepherds, they were chosen. The shepherds, they were noticed. The shepherds, they would go down into history of the presentation of the Gospels as being so valued, so cherished, so wanted by the Father God, so as to hear the message from God about the Son of God, and so that they would be the first to share the message about God, of Messiah being here. Have you? Have I? Have we? Ever felt dejected? Have we felt rejected? Have we felt maligned? Have we felt put down? Have we felt like if you follow after God, you're not taking care of this or that or something else, even by family? When we choose Jesus, do we face questions at best and persecution at worst? Can I just share with you one of the many lessons we can learn from the shepherds, and that is this. God has not given up on you. He has not forgotten you. He has not ignored you. Rather, he has chosen you to be an example of faithfulness, of speaking Jesus. Not just at Christmas time, which is true, but let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Christmas is every day. Christmas comes into the heart and lives of folks every day. Christmas can be our message every day. I hope, I pray, I plead with God that the very same living and absolute example of the move of God in the past will lead us to the joy of Jesus in the present, so that we can share the message of Christmas not only now but forward into the future. And that brings us to our message. We have spoken about a message of hope in the prophecies. We have spoken about a message of peace. We have spoken about through that transformation, and now today it is a message of joy. Our theme today is this: biblical joy for joyous living. Biblical joy for joyous living. We heard the text this morning from I don't know what translation. The Nazarene International Version. I'm kidding. When I was growing up, there's a few things my daddy did right. He said, boy, you're going to memorize Scripture. And so I'm going to try to quote it from the old King James Version. It was good enough for Paul and Silas. It's good enough for me. I'm kidding. Don't go there. It came to pass that went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Yes, I've got it here in case it gets stuck. All went to be taxed. Every one went unto his own city. And Joseph also went out of someplace. He went out of Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. Why? Because there was no room for them in the inn. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and the shepherds were sore afraid, i.e. very afraid. But the angel said unto them, do not fear, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be your sign unto you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men. I'd have loved to hear that chorus. And when they were gone away, the shepherds said one to another, let us go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. And they came and they made haste. Sorry, I lost it at 16. I got to thinking in my choo-choo train choo-chooed. They came and made haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known these things that were told unto them to those all around them concerning what they had seen in this child. And all they that heard it wondered and were in great amazement, as told by the shepherds. But Mary. Don't you love it? But Mary. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. In other words, she treasured all these things from the ESV and the direct Greek. And as the shepherds returned, they were glorifying God and praising God for all the things that they had heard him and seen as it was told to them. There's some emotionalism in this Bible. It's an old King James, but it is the Bible that my late wife had from her daddy after he died, and I wanted to use it today. Let's look and see what God would have us to learn today. Let's look and see what's going on in the life of the shepherds. Let's see what God can share with us from the life of the shepherds. And again, we are going to be Bible based, Bible only. Have we had a shepherd encounter about a Christmas birth that brings an unexplainable, undeniable, inescapable, uncontainable joy? The sermon on the sentence is this: holy joy comes from holy encounter with and from the holy God. And I'm going to focus on verse 10. The angel said to them, fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Our first point is this. Our first point is this. The shepherd's joy led to holy consuming. They could not contain themselves. That is in chapter 2, which is where we're at, verses 15 and 16. Luke 2, 15 and 16, let's refocus. The angels went away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they made haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Do you see it? We can experience it. We can encounter it. We can have it in newness today. They could not contain their joy. They were consumed. And point A is this. They could not contain their joy among themselves. They said one to another. They could not keep from talking about it unto themselves. It was no secret by one. It was not said, we better not talk about this. They're going to think we're crazy. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what God has done for you. I don't know what God is doing in you. I don't know what God will do with you. But I am going to share this with you. I am going to challenge you with this. Be the biggest big mouth you can be. Now that's Kentuckian for say, tell it. And tell it. And tell it. They could not help but speak among each other what they had seen and what they had heard. Can you imagine what they felt? I cannot. They're out there alone with a bunch of stinky, snally, nasty, yucky, gooky sheep. And suddenly an angel comes to them. And he speaks to them. And isn't it interesting, like so many times, when the first thing he says to them is, peace be unto you, peace be still. Do not fear. Peace. And he tells them about the babe, and suddenly there is an entire anthem, an entire chorus, an entire Messiah as you coming, as you will. Handel had nothing on it. He wrote Handel's Messiah, and it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful composition. I have performed it on multiple stages. But he had nothing, nothing on the angels. I don't know if they had SATB and 438,926.3 voices in each one. I don't know. I wasn't there, but boy, I got to tell you, I sure would have loved to have been. They felt compelled to confirm with each other, did we really just experience what we really experienced? Did I really see what I really saw? Did I really hear what I really heard, as my grandfather would say? Yes, I heard what I heard in Aldi. Did I really hear on this outside mountainside with sheep all around, nobody around, and suddenly we had the light, we had the voice, we had the anthem, we had the chorus. Did we really hear what we really heard? They could not contain it among themselves. They talked about it. Point B is this. The shepherd could not contain their joy within themselves. Shepherds had to see the joy gift that was given to them. We had some angel tree presents come in this morning, and two of the people that are gone because of sickness, he dropped them off. They took off so they wouldn't expose anybody, but we got the gifts. I don't know what's going to happen when those gifts are open. I hope and I think incredible joy. I really do. Because Debbie and the rest of you have been doing this for so long. They look for it. They anticipate it. They hope for it. They explode in joy because of it. Thank you, ladies. I mean that. They left all they had to go see what was told to them. They left their comfortability for the incredible. There's times, folks, when I do not want to even think about getting out of my comfort zone. We got here on a Friday night at 11:30 at night, end of March, and at 4:20 in the afternoon the next day, the roof blew off. That is not my comfortability zone. We've had to deal with insurance, and we finally, thank you, Jesus, got the back part of the roof done this week. Thank you, David, for following up with that. I was here at 6 o'clock in the morning so the roofers could do their thing. We had coffee. We had donuts. We had laughs. We let them do their thing. I stayed out of it. It's not my comfortability zone. But I got to tell you, that pales in comparison to a heavenly anthem, praising God and singing glory in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. They left their comfortability zone for the incredible. They risked their lives to go see the life given to the world. This time of year, where there was partying, there was paying taxes, there were fearfulness of being taken advantage of, and in the midst of all this, a baby? A baby? Also, their own financial security or even their own lives could be taken if the sheep were destroyed or harmed, or if somebody just didn't like them because they were shepherds. They left their responsibility to see what was proclaimed. We don't know what or who guarded the sheep. I'm going to suggest to you God had his way of doing it. Because people called shepherds, the lowest of low life of society, went to worship Jesus. You may be here saying to yourself, yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. I really don't have time. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to go to work. I've got to take care of my kids. I've got to get the food on the table. I've got to buy groceries. I got to. Talking with a man this week where the ceiling fell in on his house. And I said, well, his name wasn't Bill. My favorite word for anybody that's a male that is Bill. But anyway, what did you do? He said, I knew that I could do two things. Well, three things. I could get mad, I could start fixing it, or I could pray. And I just stood, knelt down in the mess and the drywall and the expense I knew we were going to have that we didn't have the money for. We can't even hardly pay the light bill, let alone now this. And I said, Jesus, I can't. I can't. You have to. I said, Bill, how'd that work? And he was telling me 4 days later. And he broke down in tears. You got to understand something. This guy is maybe 300 pounds. Can bench a whole lot of weight. He said, as I was sweeping up, there was a knock on the door. You know where I'm about to go. The man stood there. It was a pastor of his church. And he said, I can't explain it. I don't understand it. I don't know it. It's out of what I'm used to. I had two people say, I don't know why, but this family is going to need some money, and handed him a check called Green. Didn't even have to write one. $500. Anybody guessing how much the drywall cost with the mud and the paint? Just under $500. Jesus answers prayer. We have been becoming a church of prayer more than a church that prays. We've had people brought back from death, literally. We've had people that have had a healing touch in their bones. We've had people that have had some emotions touched. We've had people that are experiencing family healing. We have had people that have had some answers to prayer that are beyond phenomenal, and that's part of what I'm hoping I can announce next week. I can't yet. Don't hold it against me. I just want to make sure we're right. But God is doing incredible things here so that from here, we go from here and tell this is what Jesus is doing. Could not contain it. They left in haste to go see what was told to them. The word haste comes from the word speusantes, I think. Speusantes. There was an urgency that consumed them to go where the baby Jesus was, not with them, but apart from them. Jesus was somewhere else. They had to go find him. He wasn't there with them on the hill. They had to go find him. And they did it with an urgency. There was an overwhelming sense that consumed them to go and see baby Jesus. Their spirits and their very existence had blinders on. Go, see, find, experience, and worship. Holy joy comes from holy encounter with and from the Holy God. Point two is this. Point one was The shepherd's holy joy was wholly consuming. The second point is this. The shepherd's holy joy is from a holy encounter. They could not keep it to themselves. Look, if you would, in verse 16. They went and with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When I was 5 years old, I said, Mommy, how did the baby fit in with Mommy and Daddy in the manger? But they found Mary and Joseph, and then the baby was lying in a manger. They encountered the holy provision of the earthly parents of Jesus, Mary and Joseph, the earthly ones chosen of God to bring the Son of God into the world for the people of God. The earthly ones, the earthly parents, chosen by God to reveal to the people of God, the Son of God is here. The intertestamental period is gone. The silence is over. The hope and anticipation that you have been waiting for, praying for, seeking for is here. You don't have to wait anymore. I don't know what you are waiting for, but it is here. Because Jesus is here. They encountered the holy presence. Point B, they encountered not only the holy provision, but they encountered the holy presence. It was and is Jesus himself. In the same place, in the same way, in the same affirmation of what they were told. They were told about Jesus and encountered the same Jesus in the manger. You will find the babe in a manger. Aren't you glad God gives us directions and he's right? Aren't you glad that he's not wrong? Aren't you glad he can be trusted? They were told about Jesus and encountered the same Jesus in swaddling clothes. That is incredibly, incredibly important. Swaddling clothes. Remember, he was born in the city of David in Bethlehem. What was David? He was the king from whom would come the Messiah. The swaddling clothes were kingly clothes, denoting royalty. Humble, easy wrapping, but still denoting royalty, because other babes were not wrapped like that. They were told about Jesus and encountered the same Jesus in the same way they were told. The one who sought for among all the crowd that was there. Not an easy task. Can you imagine trying to find the manger in the town among the people that were there having all kinds of things going on? And yet they did. I hope this encourages you to come to a church where you can find the God preached, the Holy Spirit here, the love, the agape of Jesus given to you, because we stand on the Bible and we'll love you to death. We'll accept you. And that's not easy, but you know what? God still works in mysterious ways. He still brings people in, and we can be an extension of his mysterious ness. Are we getting it? Am I communicating? Am I touching base? They were told about Jesus, and I have no doubt he was guided by the Holy Spirit into an obscurity of existence, wherever that manger was, and it very well could have been at the edge of town, because it was just a manger where they stuck cattle and sheep and anything else smelly, or livestock, or mules, or donkeys, or whatever. And that's where Jesus was born. Most humble beginning to be seen by the most lowlife of society, to fulfill the most glorious of ministry at Bethlehem. Point C, they encountered a holy fulfillment. The fulfillment of all that was promised to all men. The promise of hope that from the prophecies, for unto you this day, you are chosen. You are the first people to see the promise. Shepherds of sheep. but yet also leading and seeing the shepherd of men's souls, leading yourselves to see him, experiencing seeing him. You are chosen. You are valued. You are trustworthy. You are the poorest of poor, but you are the richest of rich because you have come into the kingly presence of Jesus. The promise of the proof that the Messiah was now born. And in the city of David, God's word, ladies and gentlemen, is dependable. Why is that important? Because in Micah 5:2, but you, O Bethlehem Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, not even a clan could be there. From you shall come forth for me. Why is it important of Bethlehem? Because Joseph was of the house and lineage of David as well. That's where he went to be taxed. One who is to be the ruler of Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from the ancient of days. God chose the smallest of Judah for the birth of the most royal king ever to be experienced. Shepherds announced it. Shepherds saw it. Shepherds experienced it first. Shepherds who didn't even have a house of their own. The promise of a Savior to all the world, a Savior who was Christ the Lord, the promise is now fulfilled as God promised you something you still waiting on. Have you grown weary? Have you grown wondering? Have you grown exhausted? Are you growing desperate? Unto you is born this day. Promise made. Promise spoken. Promise fulfilled. Come to Bethlehem, shepherds of Champion Church, and experience Jesus. Holy joy comes from holy encounter with and from the Holy God. Point one was this. It was consuming. Point two was this. It was an encounter. And point three is this. Pardon me. The shepherd's joy was a holy response. That comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 17 through 20. When they saw it, they made known a saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things in her heart and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God of all that they had heard and seen and had been told unto them. First ones to respond were the shepherds. They proclaimed everything that they had been told. You do not see one thing where they left out anything. They proclaimed it all. He was found by them even as he was promised to them. They returned with great joy and celebration. As Debbie shared, they were the first evangelists in the New Testament. There are those who say, well, that's not my call. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all of our call to share Jesus. I do not say everybody should be behind a sacred desk or a sacred table as this has become. No, I will not say that. But what I do say is this. Do you drink coffee? I happen to drink it by the gallon. Almost. Do you eat cookies? I've been known to eat a few, obviously. Last night we had a tremendous time of celebrating Christmas with the leadership team that could be there. We had sausage rolls, oh my goodness. And Debbie missed it, too bad. We had pepper jelly, some hot, supposedly it wasn't, some mild, all of it seemed that way to me. We had cookies. We had a lot there. We had chocolate Chex Mix, and we didn't save any of it for the rest of you. In the words of an eighth grader, get over it. But you know what? We all drink something. We all eat occasionally. And like me, some of you look like you eat more than occasionally. And I don't mean that rude. How tough is it to just sit down over a cup of coffee with somebody, or you go to McDonald's, or you go to wherever, and just say, how are you doing? Sit there and eat your sandwich. Can I invite you to church? Jesus loves you, this I know, for my Bible tells me so. You just spent about 10 seconds. About 10 seconds. And you just told the greatest story of the greatest transformation possible in any and every life that could be told. You see, they were shepherds. We are shepherds. They were in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. We are in the Bethlehem of Trumbull County in the days of whoever our county assessors and our county commissioners are. Politics does not govern us. We can still speak Jesus. Shepherds proclaimed the saying was told to them. Of note, nothing that the angel shared was left out. Are we being shepherds in our Bethlehem? Point A, they proclaimed the saying that was told to them. Shepherds. Point B, the people. Point B, the people. The people, verse 18, let's look at that. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Wondered, questioned. Some verses put it this way, and from the Hebrew, and from the Greek, it is about as literal as you can get. They were astonished. They wondered. It is from the word thoma. They marveled. They were shocked out of their socks, as we say in our vernacular. They took it personally. The message from God was not diluted by the shepherds of God, and had personal impact on the people that were called by the name of God. And they had amazement. The report had no other explanation. Ladies and gentlemen, I can doubt and question some of the theology that you may speak or may say you hold to. I cannot doubt. I cannot speak against what you know, and you testify that this is what happened to me. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so kind and true, I would tell you how he changed this life completely. He did something no other friend could do. You cannot doubt a changed life. The testimony from God through the messenger of God, first angels, now eyewitnesses, has to be true. One can debate what is said from what they say. This is what I believe is a theology. They cannot debate. This is what Jesus did to, for, with me. I am alive today, standing here today, because Jesus healed me of COVID. Within 2 months of when it came out, I almost died. And I'm here today, and you cannot deny that because I'm still kicking around. Point C is this. The response, not only the shepherds, Not only the people and crowd, but the response of Mary. Look in verse 19. Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. If you go to verse 51, later in the chapter, it says she treasured things. Treasured from the word sunateria, kept them close to her, would not let them go from her, preserved them in her, and made it part of who she was. The word pondered from sum balusa, discussed, considered, never departed from. I have no doubt she and Joseph had a lot of conversations. And it's from that, she probably told anyone and everyone she could to process it all in the mind, to come to complete embracement in the spirit, and to keep it as part of your life for the rest of your life, even at the foot of the cross. Even Mary was overwhelmed. Angels, shepherds, come on. Thunderous praise from innumerable angels. Yet and still, in her heart, she experienced, she valued, she never doubted or departed from her experience and the proof of Jesus being seen as Messiah. Not first by wise men and royalty, but by people that were not usually held in esteem at all, but the opposite, by shepherds. Where can we go with this? What's our application? Have any of us had some difficulty this year, that led us to have to simply wait and feel alone on a hillside, feeling forgotten, feeling like no one cared, feeling like you can't hear anything from God with the surroundings you are. Feeling like it's a big production all around, but yet not God. Nothing but the mundane of caring for sheep. Nothing new, no breakthrough. Can we become shepherds of great joy? Have we been able to experience Jesus? Can we become shepherds like unto all who heard it, to allow ourselves to ponder and wonder what the message of God can mean for us for this Christmas in a new way? Can we become like in Mary, to treasure, to sunateri, to keep them true, to Christmas close to our hearts, to ponder, to symbolosa, and never let go and never doubt or depart from Jesus being real. Holy joy comes from holy encounter with and from the Holy God. I think you know it. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory, Christ the Lord. I think you know it. All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. Lord of lords and bright born Thank you, Jesus. You did come. We can't deny it. You are Messiah. We cannot discount it. You are King. There's no undoing it. And as we celebrate Christmas, let it be more than the tinsel, more than the package, more than the lights on the tree, even though they represent Jesus, more than the meal around the table, more than the family we are gathered with. But let us see those things, Lord, as celebrations that you, being he who was celebrated, and the season that you came for us, the reason. And we will give you praise in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Thanks for listening to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. We hope you were inspired by this week's message. We'd love for you to join us on a Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 3924 High Street Northwest in Warren, Ohio. You can also join us on Facebook Live. For more information about our ministries, or if you'd like to contribute to our ministries online, visit us at championnaz.org.